This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. We've all been watching the developments in Flint. We've been watching one level of government or the other blame each other. We've heard about donations of water from noted celebrities. We've heard presidential candidates bemoan the fate of the people of Flint, as they should. The question is, who's fixing Flint's problems? My colleague Mark Bresch has been wondering that, and he wrote a lengthy expose that explores that question, just who's in charge, and he joins me now. Mark, the governor shuffled his communications staff yesterday. There were new emails showing top aides to the governor wanted to switch back to Detroit Water after GM said, hey, this is corroding our parts. That was in October of 2014, and in Flint itself, lots of government people, lots of volunteers, lots of politicians, but are there any leaders?
Well, I think there are people who are trying to emerge as a leader, and Governor Snyder is one of those people, but he's having a very difficult time of it as more of these emails come out, to be the one in charge and to be the kind of moral leader of what's happening in Flint.
We've seen a lot of federal officials, the EPA, FEMA, but none of those are really taking the lead. Who for the feds is supposed to be taking the lead?
Well, yeah, that was the thing, interesting thing to watch, is when the feds issued that emergency order in January, we thought, okay, well, here come the feds. They're going to come in and they're going to take charge of this response. It certainly appeared that way from the outside. But when you talk to them, when you interview them and talk to them, they said they are here at the request of the state. That's what they say. And kind of legally, they have to say that because the state is still in charge of the nation's environmental law. So they can't come in and just take things over unless they remove that authority from the state. And they're looking into that, but so far they have not done that yet.
Now, the governor is comfortable with sending Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, appointing committees, appointing task forces, holding teleconferences without actually being in Flint, and issuing press releases about numbers and sentinel sites. How does his leadership in this crisis compare to other political leaders, such as governors?
In times of crisis, there are people who kind of emerge as leaders. And this governor, you know, his style is not one to kind of go out in front of the cameras and really kind of pound the pavement, so to speak, get out in the city.
Like a Chris Christie might.
Yeah, like Chris Christie did in Hurricane Sandy. So he was out there bucking his own party. You know, they were giving him advice not to be in partnership with Obama, but he bucked that own advice. He would go out and meet with people, cry with people in their homes, see the devastation. There are other leaders, if you think about, you know, Robert Kennedy, when Martin Luther King was assassinated, they told him not to go into that neighborhood in Indianapolis and deliver the news. They were worried about his safety. He did it anyway. So there are leaders that emerge.
I've lost a brother, too. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So you know the new mayor, Flint, Karen Weaver, is insisting on replacing the lead line. She's pushing for state and federal funding. She's pushing for the Flint water crisis to be fixed. But she has limited power. She seems to be demanding action, but how does that work? She's got a bully pulpit, I guess. That's about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, she is the kind of the moral authority of a city that was wronged. And she's speaking very strongly in that way. And she's kind of one of the big people in this pushing for more, pushing for the lead pipes to be out, talking a lot about trust in the city and the fact that they will not trust the water until those lead pipes are removed.
It ultimately comes down to the state-led response to the Flint water crisis, and Governor Snyder is in charge, as you mentioned. So what is his biggest challenge right now?
Well, his biggest challenge is the fact that people still do not trust him. They see him as kind of the cause of this crisis. That's the thing he has to overcome. And he's been trying to release all these emails, talk to the public about how he didn't know about this crisis until very late in the game. So he is trying to, you know, restore his credibility in all this and emerge as a leader. But he's got an uphill battle. When I was researching the story, I talked with emergency management experts, and one of them that I reached out to was Wayne Thomas. He's with the international consulting firm IEM, and they consult with all kinds of governments, federal, state, international governments, about how to manage crises in this situation. Step one, Wayne Thomas told me, is to think about what the people in Flint would want, and that is they have to have trust in the process.
If my family lived in this community, what would be my expectations of government and the responsible parties here? And the fundamental point here is whatever I'm told, I have to have some confidence and trust in. If we don't have trust in what's happening, there's not going to be any confidence that the right solution is going to be implemented here.
We've seen Brian Kelly, Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, on the show talk about who he trusts and why he trusts. And it was a particularly interesting statement he made on Stateside.
Just to be kind of, I guess, blunt with you, when it comes to water infrastructure, Mark Edwards is pretty much the only person I trust, too.
There is the government trying to kind of hitch their wagon to characters in this situation who were trustworthy.
Yeah, remind us who Mark Edwards is again.
Mark Edwards is the Virginia Tech researcher who was one of the lead people who uncovered the lead problems in the city of Flint.
This is really interesting because building trust when you're releasing emails that show your inner circle was aware there was a problem, thought there should be a switch back from the Flint River to the Detroit water source. When you've got all these people under you and you're not aware, it seems like that restoring the trust of the people in your leadership is going to be a tough, tough job.
It's an uphill battle. And I was thinking about this morning is like we're considering, okay, what are the next things we got to look at? And we were looking at solving the problem in Flint. And the emergency crises people I talked to says step one is restoring the trust. If people don't trust what's going to happen in that community, they're not going to trust the solutions that are put forward.
So with all these different officials in Flint and Genesee County at the federal, state, local levels, who's making sure all the efforts are coordinated and that people are getting the water they need? Because we've heard volunteers on this show say, you know, we're going into houses, people aren't aware, they've got the wrong filters, their filters are outdated, they can't get bottled water.
There are a lot of government people buzzing around Flint. The federal agency have their unified coordinated group. The state agency has the Flint Interagency Committee. The city has its own SMART program. They all kind of are working independently and push their own agendas, but you don't get the sense that there's a coordinated full push. When I talk to the federal government, they say before they leave Flint, that's what they want. They want a unified plan that everybody agrees on and that they can implement. But doing that takes a strong leader to coordinate all these agencies.
We've been at this for months now, and we still don't have a coordinated effort.
We're looking for that.
Okay. Mark Brush is in charge of and coordinates Michigan Radio's online news. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.